Our scripture is going to come from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I kind of went back and forth originally in your bulletin and in the lectionary. It says we start at verse 29, but that's all about John the Baptist. And I feel like we've talked about him a lot, so I'm going to skip down and begin reading at verse 35. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated to Peter. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I wanted to start here because these are Jesus' first words in the Gospel of John. If you've ever raised a child, you know the excitement of their first word. It's usually dada. And we find great joy in that. All the hard work that their mothers do to carry them and raise them and nurse them. And the first words out of their mouth, dada. It's great. Love it. Jesus' first words in this Gospel of John, "What are you looking for?" In the other translations we saw, it was, "What do you want?" Now, anytime we read, we get to put inflection on it. Perhaps he said, "What do you want? What are you looking for? What do you want? What are you looking for?" These are Jesus' first words. Now, we've heard these words that John has said about Jesus. "This is the Lamb of God that I spoke about. This is the one who will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the one coming to change the world." These folks have known about Jesus, and then they show up and follow Jesus. And he seems a little terse. "What do you want? What are you looking for?" And they simply ask him a question, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And Jesus' next words are, "Come and see." Come and see. I think these are the three words that we can hold on to in our faith and the things that are going on around us in our lives. Come and see. Because come and see answers a lot of questions, I think. Come and see. And that come and see can answer any sort of question. You might say, "John, how are the greens rolling at the golf course?" John can say, "Come and see. Come and find out." "Madeline, how's school going?" "Well, come and see." The teachers don't like it when you just show up. But come and see. "How is your church? What are y'all doing?" Come and see. Come and see. But come and see is difficult. Because when you invite people to come and see, sometimes they come and see. I told Sunday school, I'm going to tell you guys now, don't show up at my house. It's a mess. I'm never going to see. Come and see where I live. Come and see where I stay. Because it's awful. It's a mess. It's not good. I'm ashamed of it. Don't come and see. So I'm not going to invite you to my house to come and see. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? Come and see. Is it like my house? You may be afraid of us. Don't know what folks are going to find out. Come and see. Maybe one day I'll get my house cleaned up and y'all can come and see. Wouldn't that be the goal? Come and see this congregation. Come and see the work that we're doing. Part of what John, this gospel says, that Jesus is the light, and the world does not like the light, because the world is darkness, and those that operate in the darkness don't like the light. Are you following me? The light brings forth those evil things that the darkness hides. So when Jesus says, come and see, he is inviting those followers to come and see every bit of everything that he's offering to them to do. Come and see. And they go and they find out where Jesus is staying. These are his first and closest disciples that will go with him the rest of his life and into their lives as apostles sharing his good news. Andrew, Simon Peter, they come and see what Jesus is all about. Come and see. I think we need to be weary and leery of people that are afraid of come and see. People that would like to hide their identities. People that would like to hide the things that they're doing. I talked in the Sunday school, one of the big reasons that slavery started to slip out of favor was this book called Uncle Tom's Cabin. People were able to come and see what was going on. It was through those works as a book that they were able to understand a deeper meaning that slavery. Also, the civil rights movement began to get traction when those videos came out of the dogs and the fire hoses attacking people. People were able to see, to come and see how wonderful it is to have our phones and our cameras in our pockets all the time. We can record and share with people what's happening. Sometimes we're afraid of what people will see. We want to hide it. But we have the opportunity to open eyes and invite people to come and see. The other part of come and see that I think we're running into is it seems like people can see the same thing and come to different understandings of what happened. There's a woman that was murdered in Minneapolis last week. The way people talk about it's important. I said the word murder. That probably tells you a little bit of how I think that situation went down. She was killed, someone else might say. But we've got videos. We can watch what happened, and yet we can come to two completely different understandings of the situation and the events that unfolded. How do we come and see when people are coming and seeing different things? My parents were wonderful. One of the things that they taught me was that there's only one person in the world that I can take care of, and that's myself. See, I had a little brother. Anybody ever have a little brother that liked to pick on him? Pick, pick, pick. And he'd pick in the shadows and quietly, and he'd pick and pick and pick. And then I'd blow up and have this big reaction. Guess who got in trouble? Me. And I said, well, he was doing this. And my parents would say, well, there's only one person that you can take care of, and that's yourself. What he does doesn't matter. Your reaction and your actions are what's important. I can't control or consider the other people's reactions. I can't dictate how they see when they come and see. I can't control what other people are gathering from the same videos that I watch. But I can take care of myself. I can use my faith and my scriptures and my understanding of Jesus' love for me. And when I see a video, that can inform my reactions of it. When I see the news, it can be informed by my understanding of who God is and what Christ calls me to do and be in this world. Part of that is knowing that when people are trying to suppress information, they're not doing what Jesus does, which is saying, come and see. Jesus invites his disciples, his adversaries, everyone to come and see. Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness, that brings forth God's love, not that hides it or covers it up. And we as his followers are invited and called to share that same light, to invite others to come and see and participate in God's love and grace and mercy. So may we be God's light. May we, like Jesus, invite everyone to come and see, to know that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overtake it. Amen.